Scripture reading this morning comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, beginning with verse 33. Listen for the word of God. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person brings good things out of a good treasure, and the evil person brings evil things out of an evil treasure. I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you utter. For by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Winston Churchill was famous for bluntly saying pretty much whatever was on his mind. One such recorded comment was in response to Lady Astor, who told him, "Sir, if you were my husband, I would poison your drink." His reply was, "Madam, if you were my wife, I would drink it." Can I speak freely? Has anyone ever asked you that? It's pretty much an invitation to say just about anything they want and really not care if they offend anyone. Usually we respond sure if we think they're not going to speak freely about us. In both scripture readings this morning, we are very much aware that words do indeed have tremendous value and power, with Jesus himself giving a sobering warning about careless words. The enemy would have us believe that many falsehoods about our words, he would have us say anything we want and not worry about the consequences. We have the freedom of speech in this country, and if you listen at all to the talk shows and the news outlets, there's usually not much held back. It can get downright ugly a lot of the time. But in God's kingdom, are we supposed to act that way? We're held to a higher standard when we're dealing with the words that comes out of our mouths. As we just heard in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, and this is Jesus talking, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word you utter." Former President Calvin Coolidge was famous for being a man of few but well-chosen words. It is said that one time a reporter stopped him as he was leaving a church service one Sunday and shouted, "Hey, Mr. President, how did you like the service today?" "Fine," Coolidge replied. "What did the minister preach about?" "Sin." "Well, what did he say about it?" "He was against it." On another occasion, Silent Cal, as he came to be known, was at a White House dinner party. He was seated next to a rather loud and talkative lady who eventually turned to him and said, "My husband bet me I couldn't get you to say three words tonight." Coolidge reportedly turned to her after a moment and simply said, "You lose." Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, "When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but the prudent are restrained in speech." Another scripture in Proverbs, chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. "These six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren." Isn't it interesting that three out of the seven things that God hates and are an abomination have to do with the tongue? We can ask if we can speak freely, but we need to be aware of the consequences. Psalm 141, verse 3, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Probably a good verse to start our days with. We are deceiving ourselves if we think that once our words are forgotten, their influence is gone. Words echo through eternity and have lasting repercussions. Jesus said that you and I are going to have to give an account for the words we speak. The enemy would have us believe the opposite, that words evaporate. They just go into thin air and dissolve into nothingness. Words can cause problems. Words can cause hurt. Words can cause pain. In James chapter 3, it says, "See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity." The fire of the tongue has been used to burn many. As we heard in the children's message this morning, children are told, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." But that child's rhyme isn't really true. The bitter pain of a word spoken against us can hurt us for a lifetime, long after a broken bone has healed. What others say to us and what we say to others can last a long time, for good or for evil. The casual, sarcastic, or critical remark can inflict a lasting injury on another person. But the well-timed encouragement or compliment can inspire someone for the rest of their life. He goes on to say that the tongue is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The untamable tongue is even more dangerous when we consider the deadly poison it can deliver. A woman once came to John Wesley and said she knew what her talent was. And she said, "I think my talent from God is to speak my mind." Wesley replied, "I don't think God would mind if you buried that talent. Speaking forth everything that comes to mind is unwise, poisonous speech." Words are powerful. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says, "Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear." Verse 30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with which you were marked." I believe we grieve the Holy Spirit when we speak mean and cutting words to other people, when we discourage instead of encourage, when we speak death instead of life. Bad words hurt, but good words can make all the difference in the world. Many years ago, a seminary professor was vacationing with his wife in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. One morning, they were eating breakfast at a little restaurant, hoping to enjoy a quiet family meal. While they were waiting for their food, they noticed a distinguished-looking, white-haired man moving from table to table, chatting with the guests. The professor leaned over and whispered to his wife, "I hope he doesn't come over here." But sure enough, the man eventually did amble over to their table. "Where are you folks from?" he asked in a friendly voice. "Oklahoma," they answered. "Great to have you here in Tennessee," the white-haired stranger said. "What do you do for a living?" "I teach at a seminary," the professor replied. "Oh, so you teach preachers how to preach, do you? Well, I've got a great story for you." And with that, the gentleman, uninvited, pulled up a chair and sat down with the couple. The professor thought to himself, "Great, just what I need." The old gentleman pointed out the restaurant window and said, "Do you see that mountain over there? Not far from the base of that mountain, there was a boy born to a poor, unwed mother. He had a very hard time of it growing up, because every place he went, he was always asked the same question, 'Hey boy, who's your dad?'" The identity of the illegitimate child's father was a mystery the town gossips were constantly trying to solve. So whether he was at school or at the grocery store, people would ask him the same question, "Hey boy, who's your dad?" Sometimes the question came innocently from a stranger, but usually it was out of meanness and spite. Regardless, he heard that question wherever he went, and he dreaded it. He would hide at recess and lunchtime from other students. Many times he would avoid going out in public because those words hurt him so badly. On Sundays, the boy would always go to church late and slip out early in order to avoid the disapproving stares and the dreaded question. Then, when he was about 12 years old, a new pastor was assigned to his church. And on that day, the pastor finished the benediction so quickly that the boy got caught and had to walk out with the crowd. Just about the time he got to the back door, the new pastor saw the unaccompanied child and, not knowing anything about him, put his hand on his shoulder and said, "Hi there, son. Who's your dad?" A sudden hush fell over the exiting crowd. The boy felt his face flush as he sensed every eye in the church looking at him. How would he answer? This new pastor instantly sensed the awkwardness of the situation and, following a prompting that could have only come from the Holy Spirit, quickly followed his question with these words. "Wait a minute," he said. "I know who you are. I see the family resemblance now. You are a child of God." With that, he took hold of the boy's shoulders, looked him square in the eye, and said, "Son, you have a great inheritance. Go and claim it." A smile bigger than anyone had ever seen flashed across the boy's face, and he walked out the church door a changed person because of the words that were spoken to him that day. From that day forward, when everybody asked him about his dad, he just told them, "I am a child of God." The distinguished gentleman got up from the table and said, "Isn't that a great story?" Touched by the story, the professor admitted, "Yes, it truly is a great story." As the man walked away, he turned and offered one final comment. "You know, if that pastor hadn't told me that I was a child of God, I probably never would have amounted to anything." And then he walked away. The seminary professor and his wife were stunned and deeply moved to learn that the man had been speaking of himself. They called the waitress over and asked, "Do you know that older gentleman who just left our table?" The waitress grinned and said, "Of course, everybody around here knows him. That's Ben Hooper, the former governor of Tennessee." The power of our words. We can speak life or death. We can encourage or discourage. We are deceived if we believe our negative words evaporate into thin air and are quickly forgotten. But positive words can bring healing. Mother Teresa got it right. Kind words can be short and easy to speak, but their echoes are truly endless. Amen.